Well, good evening, everyone. It's Tuesday, the 30th of June. Thank you so much for tuning in to our midweek Bible study and a chance to pray. Now, this evening, we're carrying on looking at Mark's Gospel. Over these Tuesday nights, we've been working our way through 20 stories in Mark's Gospel that get us to the very heart of why Jesus is good news, the thing Mark tells us at the very start of his Gospel. And this evening we're going to pick up that reading in Mark chapter 10 and verse 32. Mark 10 and verse 32. Now while you're turning there, just to say that some of the Grow Groups this evening, if you're listening to this as part of a Grow Group, they have Bible study notes and may be choosing to kind of study their way through this text using those notes. But if you want to listen on, there's a talk in a short while that will take us through the story, get us thinking about some things from the story. And then afterwards, there'll be a chance to pray. Hopefully, you got the prayer sheet attached to the email this evening. Please use that to pray, whether that's on your own or you want to pick up the phone and pray with somebody else. But that's how this evening's going to work. So Mark chapter 10 and verse 32. They were on their way up to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later he will rise." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Well, this is God's word to us tonight. Let's pray, and then let's have a think about this story together. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank you for these opportunities that we have on Tuesday night to listen to your word. Father, the unfolding of your word gives light, the psalmist tells us. It brings understanding to the simple. And so, Father, please unfold this story to us tonight. Help us to see how you want us to behave, how you want us to live. Help us to see something more of our need of Jesus, the ransom, the one who gave his life for many. Father, please help us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you ever used to play that game when you were younger, Snakes and Ladders. Very famous game, isn't it? A very simple game. The idea of the game is that you climb the ladders, you get to the top, and you avoid the snakes which drop you down to the bottom. It's a very simple game and very frustrating game all at the same time. But I suspect that Snakes and Ladders is really a good illustration of the way that most of us do life. We see life as a series of ladders to be climbed, trying to get to the top, get to the places we want to be, and we try and avoid the snakes that drop us to lower places. And we often climb ladders, don't we? That's the way we do life, climb ladders at work. We talk about kind of climbing up the ladder or the pole for promotion. We do it at school. We want to be the best. We want to climb the ladders. We do it in our sports, that we're trying to climb the ladders to be on the first team, or to be the best, to get a better time than somebody else. So Strava records. Perhaps we do it with our stuff. We talk about climbing the property ladder. Talk about kind of trying to get the best properties we can, the more value, or the bigger, the better. And sadly, I think we kind of adopt this philosophy in life as well. We do it in church, don't we? Church life, I mean. Positions in church, offices in church, we kind of think of it like a ladder. Get a position of leadership. We want to be seen to be important. And we even do it with our holiness, don't we? We want to climb ladders for the sake of being seen by others. And I guess that's because we think that people at the top are served people, and people at the bottom have to serve others. See, look at verse 42 in our passage. Jesus captures something about this in the world, doesn't he? In verse 42, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." There's this ladder climbing thing going on in the world. But Jesus says that disciples should be different. Look at verse 43 and 44. "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Look at those very first words, verse 43. "Not so with you." Now, there's a word to us this evening, isn't it? From the Lord Jesus. "Not so with you," for those of us who trust him, who are following Jesus. "Instead," there's another way. You see that, verse 43? "Instead," there's a different way that disciples should be living. See, what ladders should disciples be climbing? Well, not ladders that are striving to go up, but we should be seeking to climb ladders that go down. We're striving for, we should be aiming for being servants. To be a servant, someone who serves others, who does things for others and not for themselves. That word servant is where we get the word minister from. Ministering, administering things to others for the sake of others. But he also says that not just striving to be a servant, but he even uses stronger language in verse 44 of learning to be a slave. That's a much stronger word. It may have even come with some shock to the disciples. To be a slave, to put yourself at the disposal of others. And Jesus is saying to disciples here, to his disciples and to us, by implication, that this is something we should actively pursue. See, the energy that we currently give to climbing ladders up in this world, Jesus says we should be giving that same energy, that same diligence to climbing down, to being servants. Strive to be a servant, someone who ministers to others. Now, who are we to be servants to? Well, let's look at verse 43. The hint here, as he said, must be your servant, as he addresses disciples, is that he's meaning that the great person, that the disciple, should be a servant of other disciples, a servant of those in church, those who believe the Lord Jesus. And again, that seems to then broaden a little bit in verse 44. He seems to suggest this attitude should spill over into all areas of our lives and into all relationships we have. You must be a slave of all. Now, here's the question. Why does Jesus call disciples to be servants? Why does he call us to strive to put ourselves into that position with those that are around us? Well, I think two reasons come out of this text, two reasons for us to think on this evening. First of all, why does Jesus call us to be servants? Well, first of all, because he served us. He served us. Look at verse 45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Look at that connecting. I want you to be a servant, verse 45, for because this is what I have come to do. When I left school, I did an apprenticeship in electrical engineering. And a large part of the learning of an apprenticeship was simply watching the senior engineer and then copying what he did. And in a similar way, that was what Jesus says to his disciples here, copy me. Jesus has served us. That's what the Gospel of Mark is really showing us. Jesus, the Son of God, has climbed down a ladder from heaven to earth. He climbed down to take on flesh. He became one of us. He climbed down a ladder as he spent his life serving others, preaching about the kingdom, preaching about how to be saved, preaching how to live God's way. He healed people. He helped others, often to the point of physical exhaustion. Jesus climbed a ladder that even went to the cross, giving his life to serve others. That's what he alludes to, isn't it, in verse 45. But it's also what he's spelt out for the disciples on three occasions up to this point. Look at verse 32 to 34. As the disciples are on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and he said to them, "We're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man," one, a favourite title that Jesus uses for himself, "the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him, and 3 days later he will rise." Jesus climbed so low, climbed down this ladder, that he was willing to give his life for us. He became, he says in verse 45, a ransom for me. That's a really graphic picture, isn't it? But a ransom is setting something free at a cost. And that's what Jesus is doing as he comes into this world, setting me free from the captivity that my sin has put me in, the captivity that death brings upon humanity, and captivity of the devil. If I could put it like this, and I hope not irreverently, but Jesus served his socks off for us. And now he is exalted to the greatest of places, ascended to heaven at the right hand of God. Contrary to the world's way, Jesus models to us that climbing down, becoming a servant, being willing to suffer, being willing to share the same cup and be baptized with Jesus' baptism, serving like him, is the way that eventually we will be lifted up. Jesus calls us to serve others because he first served us. And so what does it look like? This is to think about, isn't it? What does it look like to serve Jesus? To serve like Jesus? Well, it means laying down my life. It means laying down my comforts to put the needs of others first. It means setting aside my reputation, where I'm more concerned perhaps what people think about me. I need to set that aside for the sake of serving others. That's how Jesus treated me, and so that's how I should now treat others, wherever he's put me. Whether that's in church life, whether that's in my home, whether that's with my family, my wider family, whether that's in my friendships. Jesus calls us to serve because he himself has served us. That is the pattern he has set for us. That is the model that disciples are to follow. He served us, and so we should serve one another. But Jesus here also calls us to serve, to put the needs of others before ourselves, both in the church and more broadly in the world, because he knows something about our hearts. He knows we'd rather be served. This is the second reason why Jesus calls us to serve. He knows that we'd rather be served. Look at verse 35 to 37. They're walking along the road, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." Now, what are James and John doing here? Well, at a really simple level, it looks like they're striving for the top seats in the kingdom. They're rolling the dice and they're seeking to climb the ladder that puts them at the very top of the board. They're ladder climbing. They're grabbing for greatness. Look at verse 41. The disciples hear about this and they became indignant with James and John. Now, I'd love to think the best of the disciples here, but I doubt they're indignant because of the horror. You know, don't you know we're meant to be servants? I think they're indignant because they're thinking, we didn't get there first. We've lost. Someone's beaten us to the top of the board. And if we're honest, friends, and I look at my own heart here as well, we can so often be the same, can't we? We want to be great. We want to be served. We want to have others serve us rather than the ones doing the serving. We want to be served. We want others to think that we're great. We want others to know the good things that we've done. We want to know others to know how well church is going. We want people to know who we've helped and how we've helped them. Friends, Jesus needs to remind us of what he says at the start of verse 43, "Not so with you," because he knows our hearts. He has to remind us. Such greatness-grabbing hearts are part of the reason in the first place that Jesus needed to come into this world and serve us and be a ransom for us and give his life for us. Ever since really Adam and Eve, we have grabbed for this greatness, grabbed for this glory. We've grabbed, we could say, for godness. Adam and Eve grabbed for it in Eden. We grab for godness today, wanting to be the people making the decisions and the choices. But God didn't grab for his greatness. Jesus did not consider his equality with God something to be grasped, but he stooped to serve us. No wonder Mark can say Jesus is good news, that this is the gospel of Jesus. See, with the help, friends, of Jesus, who served us and who has loved us, we can learn to fight our flesh, which longs to be served. And with his help, we can become servants of all. Jesus calls us to be servants because he has served us, and he calls us to be servants because he knows that our hearts would rather be served. Come back with me to the game of snakes and ladders. That's really a description of the way we do life, isn't it? But Jesus says to us tonight, if we're his disciples, "Not so with you." Jesus calls us as those that he has served to strive to climb down rather than to climb up. Will you strive to be that servant? Will you think of some ways that perhaps even tonight you will choose to be a servant to somebody, to in some way? Jesus calls us to be servants, to be slaves of all, just as he served us. Friends, let's pray a prayer together, and then there's a couple of questions to help us think things through. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he came into this world not considering his equality with you something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. Father, he came to serve us. He came to give his life as a ransom for us. And we praise you for Jesus tonight. Father, we ask, please, that you would help us to fight our fleshly tendencies to grab for greatness, to serve. I want to be served, sorry, rather than to be those who serve others. Lord, please help us. Help us to be servants. Help us to be servants of others in church. Help us to be servants of those you put around us. Help us to be servants of our families and our friends. May we display constantly Jesus, who came to serve us. And we ask this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, very simply, there's three things to think about this evening. I think the first thing I'd say is think about something tonight, maybe discuss something or just think it through yourself that you would like to confess as a result of what we've looked at this evening. Then the second thing is I'd like you to pick something to thank God for. There's loads in here to say thank you for. And then I'd like you to talk about or think about on your own just something that you would change as a result of what we've heard Jesus say to disciples tonight. So something to confess, something to thank God for, and something to do, something you'll change as a result of the Bible tonight. Well, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. It's now over to you. Have a think about those questions or maybe talk to others around you about those questions and then spend some time praying. Lots to pray about this evening. I sent an email out earlier today to the church, but the big thing that we're going to be thinking about this week is that now that the government's released their guidelines, we're going to be thinking about that process of how we move towards meeting together in person. And so please be praying about that as well, and that the elders have wisdom, particularly as we meet together next Monday. And so we value prayers for that. So over to you. Thank you for tuning in this evening.